FM, Steelville, Rolla, a Mid-Missouri media station, ESPN 107.3. ESPN 107.3 presents the Mid-Mo Sports Show. Analysis, opinions, and predictions. It's the local sports show on ESPN 107.3. Now, the Mid-Mo Sports Show.
Let me tell you the story of how it began from the small town of Rolla with the name Just Stand.
This is the Mid-Mo Sports Show.
Yes, that's right. This is the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in on this incredible Monday. It is amazing outside because we're getting a white Thanksgiving. I don't think that's something I ever thought that I would say living in southern Missouri. I mean, I spent 4 or 5 years living in northeast Missouri. And I can't remember us ever getting snow, not once, but twice before Thanksgiving. But that is exactly what we've gotten here in Rolla, Missouri. And let me tell you, it is magical out there. Are you a snow guy, Colin?
Not when I have class to go to.
That's fair. That's fair. I get that. I mean, it worked out perfectly for the younger kids today.
Oh, yeah.
Because they – wait, you guys had classes today?
Oh, of course.
Interesting. Huh, state institution does not close.
Oh, we don't care.
For
we
Veterans
don't,
Day.
We don't get days off or anything like that.
That's interesting.
My dad probably didn't go to work because all the courthouses will close. But
Right. That's interesting. So the higher learning people, they're too smart to take off for Veterans Day, but...
Honestly, with the stuff that we have to get through, there are a lot of my classes... Most of the kids would rather, you know, go to class than have to cram the material in some other time.
You and I had a very different college experience. I don't think I ever uttered the words, would rather go to class than not. So good for you. That immediately gives you a leg up on humanity versus what I had. Colin's joining me in studio with John Francis on a mission from God. I'm sure he'll be joining me again next week. But before we get into any sports tonight, I need to take a moment, if you will, outside of the sports world. I am a huge, massive, absurdly large comic book / comic book movie fan. I have enjoyed that world for as long as I can remember. And... the godfather of that industry, the man that we owe so much thanks to if you're anything like me and you're passionate about that world, passed away today as Stan Lee died at the age of 95. Now, I don't memorialize a lot of people on this show, and I definitely don't memorialize non-sports related people on this show, but for Stan Lee... I'm going to make an exception. The man was 95, and he started in the business back in 1939. Now, just to give you an idea of the amount of superheroes that this man had his fingers in some way or another, okay? He either created or co-created the likes of Black Panther, Spider-Man, the X-Men, Thor, Iron Man, The Fantastic Four, The Incredible Hulk, Daredevil, and Ant-Man. I mean, just take a moment and ponder the names that I just threw at you. These are some of the most iconic creations in the history of comics.
And even if you're not a part of that particular world or any of the fandoms, it's easy to appreciate the number of zeros that have been put into people's bank accounts as a result of some of these franchises, the amount of money and the amount of jobs that have been generated either directly or indirectly by his actions are staggering.
And there's no doubt about that. For me, though, this appreciation, this time out that I'm taking to spend a little bit of your time and my time on this show has nothing to do with the practical side of things. It has everything to do with the fantastical side of things, because this man is someone that enabled me as a child to be transported into another place. And I mean, how many games, how many toys, how many imaginary things did we do revolving around these superheroes? And what is incredible is his legacy will continue to live on, I think, for generations, because now my children have grown up on all of these heroes that we just read. And I have to imagine that they're going to live on through their children as well. So it's pretty rare that a human being impacts the volume of lives that Stan Lee has, and generally in a very positive way. I don't think it's overstating it to say that there's probably been billions of people that have been impacted by this guy's creativity, by this guy's genius. Billions. I mean, if you really consider that he started this in 1939, and the Marvel brand, and he is responsible for almost all of their greatest, most popular characters, reach everyone globally.
Well, and you, like you said, 1939, that's right at the precipice of World War II.
Right.
And Captain America is one of the best known Marvel figures.
Right.
And I wouldn't be that surprised to say that that had a significant impact on some patriotism, on that sort of loyalty and those ideologies, especially during that time.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of these people that I listed off, like Black Panther, Iron Man, Daredevil, Ant-Man, some of these characters, before they became a part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, while known to comic readers, would not have been known to the average Joe. But X-Men, Spider-Man, the Fantastic Four, certainly the Incredible Hulk, they were massive on a global scale way before these movies started coming out. But these movies have taken these characters and catapulted them into the stratosphere. I mean, when I first heard they were going to make an Ant-Man movie, I thought it was laughable. Like, how does this guy that can shrink and can grow and communicates with ants possibly fit into a world with Thor, a cosmic god of thunder? Like, and yet they did it. And all of this started with Stan Lee and his genius. And so that is why I decided today to dedicate my first segment to a man that I guess I will be forever thankful for the incredible creations he created. You know, the DC versus Marvel universe is a debate that lots of nerds have. What's better, Batman and Superman or Spider-Man and Thor? But really, you can basically say it's the DC universe versus Stan Lee, because Stan Lee had his hands in, I mean, almost every significant Marvel character that you see today. And, you know, the tip of the caps that they gave him by letting him have cameos in each of these movies is pretty cool, because the name Stan Lee, like so many creators of superheroes, would have just disappeared. You know, we wouldn't have talked about it to the extent that we do, but because he became a face in these movies, now my kids know who Stan Lee is. And yeah, I mean, I think his legacy is going to live on well beyond our children's lifetime, and I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, speaking of the cameos, I've been thinking for a while now, and I wouldn't be too terribly surprised if they had done this, would be take Stan Lee, put him in a green screen room and have him do a bunch of costume changes and do every conceivable cameo just to plug him into movies for decades
to come. So
20
years from now, 95-year-old Stan Lee is still appearing in those movies. I think that's fantastic. Yeah. So, all right, well, this is the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. I promise when we come back, we'll get into sports. Thanks for humoring me. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can write this number down, 573-364-1045, 573-364-1045. We've got a three-minute commercial break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Weekday mornings, Golic and Wingo have the day's top stories and the biggest topics in sports, as only they can.
Who wouldn't take that?
Listen mornings from 5 till 9. This is ESPN on the radio, Mid-Missouri's ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful snowy Monday in Rolla, Missouri. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can call me at 573-364-1045. That's 573-364-1045. And remember, if there's any part of the show that you missed, you don't have to miss it, because you can go back and listen. You can catch the show in podcast form on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, iHeartRadio, and so many other places. So make sure that you do that. But friends, before we get into this next segment, it's time for Stupid Tweet of the Week.
And now, being presented to you live, the Stupid Tweet of the Week.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. Oh, yeah.
Stupid Tweet of the Week.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm stupid.
Stupid Tweet of the Week.
This week's Stupid Tweet of the Week is brought to you courtesy of my favorite whipping boy, Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who continues to not play football and not get paid for it. And what has to be the most incredible, did I say that, moment, Le'Veon Bell's tweet from 2013 was breathed new life yesterday as it made it back into 2018 social media. And if there's one thing that I can tell you with certainty, it's that 2018 social media is a much more dangerous place to be than 2013 social media was. It's amazing what 5 years can do to a place like Twitter. Le'Veon Bell tweeted out in 2013, "If you could sit out a year of a sport, you play and you're not injured or something else is preventing you to play, then you don't love it." That has not aged well, my friends, because Le'Veon Bell, that's exactly what you're doing. To bring back to the memory banks of those listening, Le'Veon Bell has sat out the entire season, forfeiting money that he would be getting from a franchise tag in which he was going to be paid over $12 million and be the, if I did my numbers correctly, I still never verified, the second highest paid running back in the NFL. But instead, he decided he wanted to take a long winter's nap in Florida and not play football and watch his team play and send out occasional tweets to let people know that he was still alive. Well, this week is a significant week, because if Le'Veon Bell does not report to the Steelers this week, week 11, Le'Veon Bell will not become a free agent. And here's where the plot gets oh so interesting. Can anyone out there explain to me, if you're Le'Veon Bell, and the reason that you are holding out is so that you don't put more wear and tear on your body for getting paid less than what you believe you are worth, how do you think not going to free agency is going to accomplish that? Because by rights, the Steelers can retain the rights to Le'Veon Bell if he doesn't show up this week. And the latest report that we got yesterday, in fact, was that the Steelers do not expect to see him at all. I don't understand. Now, look, you and I both know, this is well documented, professional athletes are not always the most intelligent of people. But here's what we do know. We know that they have agents, and their agents advise them. Their agents help dictate the direction that their career takes off the field. There's no doubt that Bell is being counseled by an agent or people close to him that are giving him this advice. But as we have seen with other morons in the sports industry, I'm looking at you, Jimmy Butler, who we'll talk about later, and I'm looking at you, Kawhi Leonard. Those closest to you, whether they be agents or not, that advise you don't always have a freaking clue what they're saying. They just don't. Their advice is terrible. And Le'Veon Bell, I know you're a fan of the show. How could you not be after I've ripped on you for the last 3 months? Surely you love us. Surely you listen religiously. And since I know that you do, I want to give you a piece of advice. You have already cost yourself an enormous amount of money by not playing up to this point this season. I'll explain why in a minute. But my advice to you is this. Get your hind end to Pittsburgh now and start playing football to remind people why you are worth being the second highest paid running back in the NFL. Because here's my thing, dude. You are killing yourself right now. You do understand how important public image is, and you do understand what happens when you show up ownership, when you buck authority, when you do the things that you want. You may think that these things are unrelated with Colin Kaepernick and what Le'Veon Bell is doing. And while there isn't a direct line between the two, here's what I can tell you. The end result of those choices may have similar consequences. Because here's the thing. How anxious is ownership going to be to sign a mega contract for someone who is basically demonstrating that the system that exists is beatable? The system where the team holds most of the cards. I have told you on this show so many times that you can see that we are at the precipice of disaster in sports contracts right now as players are continuing to hold out and get exactly what they want. Look, ownership wants control. Of course they do. They're the ones forking out hundreds of millions of dollars. They're the ones assuming the risk. At least that's how they see it. And I guarantee you, regardless of the talent, there is a line that they won't be willing to cross for a player. Now, am I suggesting Le'Veon Bell won't get a job next year if somehow he goes into free agency? Of course not. Someone is going to play Le'Veon Bell. He was too talented when he stopped playing not to give him at least a chance. But my deal is there comes a point where the baggage that you bring with you is not worth whatever talent you have. Colin Kaepernick demonstrates that to us week in and week out. Remember Nathan Peterman, friends. Nathan Peterman has a job throwing footballs in the NFL. Nathan Peterman, the man who threw 2.5 interceptions last week and his quarterback rating improved. He has a job and Colin Kaepernick doesn't. That tells you that there is a point, there is a threshold where ownership says, not going to do it. And look, you may not like it, but they have that right. They're the ones cutting the checks. And if ownership says, look, I don't like what this Le'Veon Bell cat's about, he's trying to force our hand. He's trying to gain all of the leverage. What's the guarantee that he won't do this with us? And then on top of that, there's public image, right? There's public perception. Forget the perception of his teammates. Forget the perception of other players in the NFL and what they may think. Because I guarantee you the Pittsburgh locker room right now isn't itching for Le'Veon Bell to show up as they continue to steamroll through opponents. What about the fans? So much of what has happened with Colin Kaepernick is because the fan base turned on him. And let me tell you guys, I can't speak for you. But what I can say unequivocally is that I, average Joe Justin, who makes a modest wage, doing a hard day's work, is never ever going to feel sympathy for an athlete that has a contract that is going to pay him over $10 million a year to play a sport. Ain't going to happen. And I have to believe that a vast majority of Minmo Nation feels the exact same way. There comes a point where you say, look, dude, I can't follow you where you're going. You're getting paid an enormous amount of money, a king's ransom, to play a sport. And yes, if you really want to be overdramatic, are you putting your body on the line? Sure. But you're getting paid an incredible, incredible premium to do it.
Who doesn't realize that playing professional football will have adverse consequences on your body?
Everyone knows it.
It's been a well-known fact for a long time. And you talk about public image. I've found here on Investopedia that 90% of self-described NFL fans have never attended a game, meaning that, yes, how you win, how you perform at the stadiums where a bunch of people are showing up, that's generating a lot of money, but it doesn't compare to the amount that TV is generating.
That's right.
So how people view you around the country on television is what is going to drive your value to these teams.
And what have we learned? When public perception turns on someone, the money dries up. Unless, of course, Nike's willing to pay you to do an ad for them, which they were with Colin, which was his right and their right. But I'm telling you guys, this thing can get uglier. It has not reached the pinnacle of ugly yet. And it's going to get real interesting if he decides not to show up this week. It's going to get real interesting for him. Le'Veon, I know you're listening. You're getting bad advice. You need to play football. I understand what happened to Dez Bryant this week is a cautionary tale for you. But here's what I'm telling you. You're already getting paid enough. You should be on the field performing. When is enough enough? And how is Le'Veon Bell going to say, I should be paid like the best running back in the NFL, when guys like Kareem Hunt and Todd Gurley are lighting the world on fire? And guess what? They're on the field. They're playing. You don't see Kareem Hunt whining like a baby while he continues to dominate defenses across this league.
I'm curious to see what Mr. Bell has been shopping for that the $12 million is insufficient. If he's like, well, I need a Bugatti Devo for every day of the week, what am I supposed to do?
It's a fair question.
I would love to see what is he trying to buy that he's like,
And this is why it will never garner sympathy from me. Not only are you getting paid lots of money, but you're getting paid as one of the top players in your position. And from my perspective, that should be enough. I'll be interested to get Dan Israel's perspective, who will be joining us next on the Minmo Sports Show on Min Missouri ESPN 107.3. We're going to take 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with Dan.
11, 7, 5, hut, hut, hike.
Go deep and score big with Raw Football and Dunkin' King, proud sponsors of our Bulldog family.
Thank you to all of our customers and remember, fresh never frozen donuts and breakfast sandwiches 7 days a week.
It's gotta be Dunkin' King.
Check us out on Facebook for the freshest donuts every night and special deals.
Go Bulldogs!
ESPN 107.3 is the home of Rolla High School sports. Bulldogs football, basketball, baseball, and more plays here. With play-by-play from Matt Glenn, Mid-Missouri's ESPN 107.3.
Welcome back to the Minmo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in on this snowy Monday. Joining us from, I assume, Kansas City is the great Dan Israel with the Chiefs Radio Network. How you doing, Dan?
I'm doing good, man.
Did you guys get snow up there?
Yeah, actually, this morning it looked like a winter wonderland. I thought, boy, what a great week to go to Mexico. I'm all for that.
Words that I wasn't sure I was going to hear you say, if I'm being honest.
That's right.
So, hey, Victory Monday yet again. I have to say, though, I'm sure you probably feel the same way. we joked last week, there's no way that this could even be a trap game, but who knew? Apparently Arizona has a decent defense.
Yeah, I thought a better matchup for Arizona would have been the Rolla Bulldogs, but it got a little intense on Sunday, man. I was feeling a little nervous there around the second quarter. They just – I tell you what, our offensive line just struggled all day mightily against those guys, and it just felt like it was a different offense. And you know the funny part about it is when you look at this, Justin, you look at it and you say, okay, well, that was definitely not our best performance offensively. We still scored 26 points.
Absolutely right.
There were years if you'd told me if we were going to score 26, I said, well, what happened? You know,
how did we do that?
How could we score 26? That's not even possible, is it? But this season, it seems like a bad game, a bad outing. It was nice, though. I will say this. It was nice to see the defense rise to the occasion because not only did we take 5 sacks, but we gave 5 sacks. You got to like that.
Absolutely right. And I think I want to start this conversation off with the much maligned and deservedly so on this show, Justin Houston, who made what I think was probably the critical play in the game.
You know, I saw him in the locker room and I wanted to actually say, you did that just to make me eat my words, didn't you? But you know, it's not all about me most of the time. So yeah, I've been, you know me, man, I've been hard on him and I felt like I really did not expect to see him play at a level that he was playing at yesterday. Maybe his health does have something to do with it. I don't know. Since, you know, I asked Coach Reed last night after the game, I said, what caused the switch to flip for D Ford? Because he's playing like a guy we haven't seen. And he looked me straight in the eye, and I don't think it was coach's speak. He said, he's healthy. He hasn't been healthy since he's been here.
Really?
And so I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's really what it's about, or they just, the penny finally dropped with the coaching. But Justin Houston might just be the same way, is that, you know, he's been injured and some part of his physicality hasn't allowed him to play like that 22 sack year. You know, if he's healed and he can play well, I'm all for it. It's just my whole gripe with all of that has been you're paying all these guys, you know, between the collective, between he and Eric Berry is significant. And for both of them not to be contributing and taking, you know, a third or more of the money that goes out, that's something you can't really sit well with. But yeah, it was good to see him out on the field. And frankly, he kind of made the turning point of the play, turning point of the game.
I think he absolutely did. That interception was huge.
One score difference at that point. And, you know, and Chiefs finally capitalized on that and seemed to start pulling away from the Cardinals. But definitely good to see him out there. Good to see Daniel Sorensen out there. I thought he played really well. Both played more, Justin, than I thought they were going to. I thought we'd see a tighter, you know, snap count on him or a lower snap count on him. But they both seemed to do really well physically, and so the coaches kind of let him go out there. And, you know, all in all, it was a good day.
I got a couple of random thoughts that popped into my head that are kind of offshoots of what you were just talking about. I'm curious your thoughts. You have been at this for a very long time, and that was not an age joke. I'm curious, how do you quantify? You're talking about D Ford, and why did the switch flip this year? And the cynic in me always wants to point to the fact that it's a contract year. But talk me off that ledge. It has to be more complicated than that, because logic would say, even though D Ford wasn't in a contract year 2 years ago, it benefits him to be awesome, whether it's a contract year or not. So talk me off that cynical edge.
You know, when you were in high school and you drew the card in debate, and you had to argue the point you didn't believe in. It was like, oh, man.
Is that what I just gave you?
That's what you're doing to me, man. I don't know. I do think it's hard to escape that. I mean, honestly, it just seems as though you look across the 1,500 plus players that are in the National Football League, and when they're up for a contract year, there's a lot of them. There's an extraordinarily high percentage of them that have great years. And so it's hard to argue statistically. It's even hard to argue the human element of it just from what you see day in and day out. I will say this about D Ford. He's not quite that guy.
Okay.
He's not Justin Houston. He's a different cat. The way his mind works is different. So I'm not I can't say it's not a factor, but I don't think that's solely the factor. And what, you know what I don't like about the NFL? One thing I've never liked about the NFL is this pay for potential.
Right.
Where before they did the rookie salary caps, you'd be paying these, you know, Sam Bradford made more money in this league than Patrick Mahomes will make 3 years in his first year and didn't even play. He hasn't played a full season in his entire career.
No, we threw out some insane Bradford stats last week based on what his salary. He was getting paid, it was like $1.2 million per touchdown that he threw over his career.
Yeah. Because I think that's I'm sure that's right. I think that first deal was 60 plus million or something like that. And so I never liked the paid for potential. The other side of that coin is that you end up paying on the backside, which is to say, okay, the Justin Houston isn't earning money this year for what he's doing this year.
Sure.
He's earning money this year for that 22 sack season. I'm okay with that until you start going, okay, let's pay him for 4 years on
that. Right, right.
Because now you're not paying him for just 1 year. And so, I don't know, I struggle with that. And, you know, these guys, when they argue in their contracts that they've got to have guaranteed clauses, they don't want to work off incentives and all of that. And their argument is always, well, what if I get injured? You know, I can't control injury. What if I get injured and can't earn? Well, okay, you know, let's keep in mind, you're not making $36,000 a year here.
Right, right, absolutely. What have you made to that point when you were healthy?
You earn one game check there, and you know you. And granted, it could be a season, it could be a career-ending injury. So let's make it a little more than that. But I argue the fact, or it bothers me at least, when these players try to present themselves that they should be able to earn in 3 or 4 years in the NFL an entire lifetime's earnings. That's really hard for everyone but an NFL player to accept, right?
Absolutely, it is.
And in a league where the average lifespan is 2.7 years, they're saying, well, I got to earn $50 million this year. Look at Le'Veon Bell. My goodness. This guy, how long is he going to have? What kind of contract is he going to have to make to pick up the $14 or $16 million that he left on the ground this year?
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. I'm so glad you brought this up, Dan, because I was about to ask you about him. I was talking about the Le'Veon Bell situation in the segment before you came on. And here's something I'm really interested in your opinion on, because I don't know who's advising this guy, but if he doesn't show up this week, they don't have to make him a free agent, which is just like, wasn't that the whole point of this? Was so that he could become a free agent and protect his own interests? Here's my question to you, though. I realize that there isn't a straight line between these two, but follow my logic a little bit. Colin Kaepernick, one of the reasons Nathan Peterman has a job in the NFL and Colin Kaepernick doesn't is because ownership that would be paying him are saying the cons outweigh the pros. The baggage associated with the person of Colin Kaepernick, whether they're right in feeling this way or not, outweighs the good that he would bring on the field. Is there going to be a point where ownership, who we all know, ownership doesn't like to be shown up by the players. They don't want their authority usurped. And honestly, I feel like they're justified in feeling that way since they're the ones shelling out hundreds of millions of dollars. My question is there a point at which Le'Veon Bell does so much damage to the sanctity of contracts that ownership says across the NFL says, look, dude, you're bringing too much baggage to the table. You are threatening the structure that currently exists, and we don't like it, and we're not willing to pay you anything remotely close to what you think you're worth?
That there is absolutely that correlation. Now, I will tell you that that exists if there are 32 owners, 28 of them might bind together and do that, but there's always going to be a handful of guys out there go the Al Davises, the Jerry Jones of the world that go, how much?
I just want the talent. Right?
I just want the best player I can get. Yeah. And as long as you're doing it with a diamond on your helmet, I'm all good, or a star, or whatever they call that thing.
So does that end up undoing?
But here's the other side of this. And this is the thing that's really fascinating about the Le'Veon Bell situation. Bell set out to make a point that he's more than a running back and he should be compensated such between a wide receiver's position and his, right?
Right. Right.
What he's essentially done, though, the argument he's essentially sold to the 32 owners is it's never worth paying a player. It's not worth paying him a player. Look at James Conner, man.
Absolutely right.
And if they go anywhere in the playoffs, and frankly, I think right now, if I were a Steeler administration guy, you know, cap guy, sure. I would be going to Ben Roethlisberger and going, hey, Ben, we found $16 million extra bucks. We're going to renegotiate you got 2 years left on your contract. We're going to renegotiate that. Pay you $16 million today,
yep.
and take it from next year, and we'll buy you a receiver next year.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that he's set out to say, I'm going to change the way running backs get paid, and he did, just not positively, negatively.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and it's funny. It was just, I don't know, it's definitely been in the last 5 years, if not more recent than that, that the NFL was looking at the running back position and devaluing it. You saw running backs weren't being taken high in the first round anymore. Those high-quality running backs were falling late first round into the second. Offenses were utilizing them in different ways, and we've just started to see a running back renaissance, and I think you're absolutely right. Le'Veon Bell is actually doing way more damage than good to the cause he set out for. And what's really amazing to me in all this is if he had just signed that franchise tag, he would have been paid still as one of the top running backs in the NFL. It wasn't like they were throwing a rookie contract at him. He wasn't getting chump change. I mean, it was still big bucks.
That's what amazes me. And I get the greed concept here. You know, when Odell Beckham Jr. was saying, I don't want to be the highest paid receiver. I want to be the highest paid guy in the league. Dude, come on, man. I mean, how much money can you spend?
Right.
Seriously.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, to leave $15 million, more money than most human beings will make in a lifetime, to leave it on the table and to walk away. I mean, if you choose to walk away because you want to smoke marijuana, right? Ricky Williams had the right to do that.
Sure,
I get it.
Bold
choice, I don't understand it, but I get it. But to walk away because, I don't know, pride and ego about you only making $16.2 million?
Right. Yep.
Huh?
Yep.
I don't get it. Everybody, do you know anybody in this league, anybody that covers this league, anybody that announces – writes for, watches, plays fantasy football that doesn't consider Le'Veon Bell the best running back in the league, at least until Todd Gurley showed up on the scene, and he didn't.
Right. No, you're right.
I mean, the only reason we're saying Gurley is without a doubt the best running back in the league is because Le'Veon's not running.
We're watching him play. That's right.
That's right. He's actually out there being a running back. Yep. It is such a screwy situation, and you're so right in that. These guys, boy, I learned this with the New England Patriots Twitter escapade. You got to remember that this is still 32 billionaires' hobbies.
Yep, that's right.
You know,
yep.
And the one thing I've never really cared for is that when the players demand all this money, they think they're taking it from a rich guy. All they're doing is taking it from a smart business owner that says, what are my expenses? Mark those up and sell tickets.
Yep, yep.
And so the money flows right through the owner, straight down to the fans that are participating in this. And it's crazy. Do you remember a few years ago, they came out with this insurance clause or this insurance that you could buy for college players?
Yep, absolutely. If they got
you remember that story?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I thought that would change the NCAA because, you know, all of a sudden now you could get money to a college player.
Right.
To stay at a certain college and stuff like that. It amazes me how the system works in this. And he's trying to change it. He's trying to take advantage of it. And he definitely changed it. I just think it's amazing that it swung against him instead of for him.
And then the thing that's going to be working against him even more than anything else is going to be the court of public opinion, because you can't – I mean, you've already said it, and I said it in the segment before you. You can't, to an average Joe who makes a modest salary on a hard day's work, hold out to get more than $16 million and earn our sympathy. All you're going to do is push fans the other way. So you're going to lose the ownership. You're going to lose the other players in the NFL, at least the ones that he bailed on this season, and you're going to lose the fans. What a trifecta.
That is, you're absolutely right. That the owners may be the least part of that.
Right.
How do you make the argument to the guy in front of you that's supposed to block for you, who's making $600,000 a year, that you're too good to be out there for anything less than, you know, $20 million in a 5-year contract? How do you make that argument even to your next team after you're gone from the Steelers? Oh, I'm not going to walk out on you. I walked out on them, but I won't walk out on you.
It's different this time. I don't want to get into marital infidelity, but same concept.
Please don't.
Same concept. Please don't. Hey, so Dan, all right. Hey, thanks for engaging me on that. I really want to talk to you about that.
Sure, man.
Let's talk about Monday night, though, because we've got the game of the year with the Rams and the Chiefs doing battle in Mexico City. You're going to be there. Talk to me about what has you most excited about this game. You have, for those that don't know, an extra personal connection to the Rams with your son working for that organization. I'm really curious to hear what your thoughts are heading down south.
It's interesting. The Rams are headed to Colorado Springs this week to acclimate to the altitude, because as we discussed, it's 8,000 plus feet. It's
right.
It's almost twice as high as Denver, Colorado. And so the Rams are heading to Colorado Springs. The Chiefs have made the decision that the only team that's been affected by altitude sickness playing in Mexico was the New England Patriots. And they went to Colorado a week before going. So the Chiefs have said, well, we're not doing that. So I was just talking to Rick Burkholder, who's our trainer, our head trainer, and they basically want to get in and out of Mexico before all the effects hit. It takes about a day and a little over a day for the effects to start, and about 2 days for them to really hit hard, and then 2 days to recover.
Well, that's interesting.
So what they're doing basically is they're going down to Mexico. They're going to keep the team on oxygen as long as they possibly can, and then play the game and get out of there.
That's so interesting, huh?
I know. I said, well, you know, because I talked to Coach Reed about it last night. And he goes, well, you know, it's just a plane ride away, Dan. It's not that far. And I thought, well, yeah, Coach, it's no further in a plane than Seattle or Oakland. However, it's twice as high.
You're up on a mountain, though.
Yeah, it's a little up. So, you know, you climb in a plane. You just never go down in a plane. You just land while you're up there. So,
that's awesome. Are you worried about any physical risks?
Well, I don't know if you've seen the story here that they had a concert on Saturday night. Have you seen this story?
No, not at all, huh?
So there was a concert in the stadium on Saturday night that destroyed the field.
Oh, no.
So they're literally going to pull up the turf, lay all new grass down. And so, yeah, man, I'm worried. I mean, the equipment guys are worried about it. I don't know if the players are worried about it, but I would assume so. I'm telling you, if somebody gets hurt in this, it's going to be, you know, that there'll be hell to pay. I mean, because especially if it's a star player, but
all of this is because Roger Goodell has a dream to make the NFL global. I'll tell you what, if someone like a, God forbid, Patrick Mahomes blow out a knee on bad grass, that is a bad look for the NFL.
That's what I'm talking about. And you know, Goodell's not the only one, man. He's got a couple of owners that have been pushing hard for this. And, you know, there's just some owners that believe there's not enough money left here in the United States. And they think that the NFL has apexed in the United States and is going to someday be what happened to NASCAR.
Oh, my.
And I don't think so. I mean, the ratings pop.
An incredible course correction to drop.
Yeah, the ratings pop back hard this year. It's bigger than ever. We're having bigger ratings than we've ever had again.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little I think it's a little far-fetched. But and I will say that the Europeans are starting to really be interested in football. Fantasy football is kind of taking it to a new level and all of that. So I get that someday this is going to be a global thing. But, man, I'm telling you, if something bad happens out of this, it will change some of this philosophy. Because right now you got two international games going. They got, I think, four venues going right now.
Wow,
I think they're wanting to get a third international game going and maybe take that to six venues. You know, their plans are to increase, not decrease. And I think if you see a bad incident, where whether it's security related, field related, personnel related, whatever it is, there are so many. It's just the logistics behind this move are crazy. I mean, even what I'm going through, before I got on with you guys, I was talking to the NFL liaison in Mexico. They don't have our circuit up yet, our broadcast circuit up yet.
Gosh.
And they're talking about bribing some people to get it done. And I'm like, please do. I mean, I paid for this thing 6 months ago. I think it's time.
Whatever it takes, get it done.
Yeah, wow. Absolutely.
Well, Dan, we won't get to talk to you with it being a Monday night game, so I want to wish you an early happy Thanksgiving. I hope you and your family are blessed. And from the Midmo Sports Show, we're so thankful that you take time out of your Monday to talk Chiefs football with us, man. I appreciate you, buddy.
Well, thank you, man. Same back to you. I hope things go well. We'll give you a shout when we get back, and hopefully we'll be, 10 or 11-0 or 11-1
just
by
keep,
then. So
keep those victory Mondays rolling, brother.
Exactly.
All right, man.
Exactly.
Be safe. Thank you so much, okay. Dan. Appreciate you. That's Dan Israel with the Chiefs Radio Network. He joins us every Monday at 4:30. Thanks so much to Dan for taking time out of his busy schedule. We've got to take a commercial break. This is the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. 3 minutes. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
We're lonely and we don't have a lot of friends. Feel bad for us? Then follow Mid-Missouri's ESPN 107.3 online. Click like at facebook.com/ESPN1073 and follow on Twitter at ESPN1073.
Back to the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in. We got a quick segment. We went long with Dan, as we are wont to do on this show. Darren Revell tweeted out something absolutely incredible yesterday. For many of you that don't know, Bobby Petrino, controversial coach of the University of Louisville football program, was fired. But what is incredible is the timing of what was going on when the firing was announced. Because via Kentucky Sports Radio, Bobby Petrino was doing a television program that was a regular program on the local news station called Inside the Cards with Coach Bobby Petrino. And while he was sitting there doing his coach's interview, talking about the last week's game and what he was preparing for next game, across came the scrolling news on the crawl at the bottom. Breaking news: University of Louisville football coach Bobby Petrino has been fired. Someone took a screenshot with Bobby Petrino looking kind of depressed and a big graphic, Inside the Cards with Coach Bobby Petrino. And across the bottom of the screen, those not so famous words that I just read. Is there a worse way to get fired than by being interviewed for what is coming in the next week's worth of games?
Yeah, that's the rug being pulled out quite literally from underneath you.
Now, I don't know if Bobby Petrino is able to see the crawl that is scrolling across the screen. Was that the first that he heard of it? I have to imagine he didn't know, right? Because there's no chance you go do that show live. If that is scrolling across the screen, the only thing that I can hope is that he wasn't doing that show live and that it was pre-recorded, because otherwise, holy moly, what a disastrous, disastrous timing. And let me tell you, I'm so thankful that it happened. Because stuff like that, I mean, that's what social media is all about, right? Sharing in people's misery? Absolutely wonderful. We've got a second hour of the show that is going to be fantastic. You don't want to miss it. This is the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. I'm Justin Renaud. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
In Mid-Mo, sports radio is KLPW-FM, Steelville, Rolla, a Mid-Missouri media station, ESPN 107.3. Mid-Missouri's ESPN 107.3 has live streaming audio at ESPN1073.com. Plus, get the latest sports news and scores 24/7 at ESPN1073.com.
Back to the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in on this beautiful snowy Monday pre-Thanksgiving. I mean, seriously, people, when was the last time we had two snows before Thanksgiving? Love it. Absolutely love it. I want a nasty, vicious, snow-filled winter this year.
Yeah, it used to be the whitest thing on Thanksgiving was the turkey meat, but
not in my house. Not what I'm looking at. Give me that dark meat, baby. No, we hey, so for many of you that don't know, I was gone from the show for about 5 or 6 weeks this spring. My wife and I embarked on a trip to India to adopt an 8-year-old girl, and she's been home with us, and things are going great. And I have to tell you, one of the cool things that I have gotten to experience is seeing the world through the eyes of an 8-year-old who has never experienced many of the things that we take for granted. And I don't mean that in a negative way, just because it's our everyday life here in America. And snow has been one of the coolest things. You know, even if you live in a part of the country like Texas that doesn't get snow hardly ever, kids from Texas still know what snow is. The idea of snow is not foreign to them. Well, to my daughter, the idea of snow was completely foreign. It didn't exist. She'd never heard of it. She'd never seen it. So when we took her outside last Thursday, I think is when that was, it absolutely blew her mind. She asked me, "Daddy, where is this coming from?" I got to tell you, it has been a real treat, and watching her play in the snow outside. I went home for lunch, and of course the kids were off at school for school today because of Veterans Day. She went and sat in a chair on our deck and just sat there and just soaked it up, like this beautiful white world. So, man, I'm telling you, there are moments in life that I don't think that we never forget. And I think for me, that might be one of them. It was pretty cool. So anyway, let's get away from the mushy-gushy family stuff and move in to the more cynical, magical world of sports. I'm going to offer you a take that you might not like and you might not want, but I hope that you give me a chance to explain my position, and who knows, maybe you'll even agree with me. Look, I have gotten away from the world of I'm going to hate on LeBron because he's LeBron. I did that for a couple of years. It got old. But one of the things that is driving me crazy right now about LeBron is how vocal he has gotten about political issues. Because if there's one thing that I'm not interested in, it's getting political advice from celebrities and athletes. Like, the idea that LeBron James is more informed than I am on a political issue is ridiculous. He has as much access to this information as I do and as you do. And if we do our due diligence and prepare for things that are coming up in elections and political issues that affect us, we're good, right? I don't need Barbara Streisand to give me political advice. I just don't.
But what about Kanye West?
Definitely don't need it from him either. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. If you're a celebrity or an athlete, oftentimes I will tune you out simply because that is the sphere that I want you to impact my life. I don't need it to bleed over into any other one. And if there's one thing that we know about the NBA, it is the most politically forward, it's the most politically outspoken group of athletes that exists in major American sport right now. And they have a league that embraces that idea. Now, this past week, at least four teams that I know of, the Clippers, the Bucks, the Lakers, and the Hawks, wore shirts, I guess we're going to use the word, honoring the victims of the Thousand Oaks shooting. They wore black t-shirts that had the message "Enough" on the front and had the names of all 12 people killed by the gunman inside Borderline Bar and Grill. Now, while that, I guess, isn't inherently a political statement, it's not a long journey to find it being a political statement. And Adam Silver came out and basically said that they support the cause and will support the players. He said, as I've always said, our players aren't just ball players, they're citizens. They have strong feelings about what's happening in society and they react to them. I think this was something that was a groundswell within the league. It came from the players, and it spread by word of mouth from one team to another. It obviously began here in California, and other teams around the league supported them. Again, I support our players' desire to speak out on issues that are important to them and important to society. Friends, what have we learned from the Colin Kaepernick situation? I can't believe I've had to go to this twice in the show. Oh, crap. My web browser just shut me down. There's one thing that we have learned from this. It's that we don't want to hear from players about political issues. Colin Kaepernick made that beyond clear. Beyond clear. By being ostracized. And I'm telling you, if the NBA moves into full political territory, if the NBA draws a hard line in the sand about gun control related issues, which technically I do not believe they have done yet, but are a very fine line away from doing that, it will be a huge mistake. Now, I also understand that the average fan of the NBA is a different demographic than the average NFL fan. I'm not talking race. I'm just talking about the age of that person, the mindset of the average fan. I'm not speaking in absolutes. I'm just saying if you look at the average fan for their respective sports. But I'm telling you, friends, it's dangerous. Listen to what LeBron James had to say. You know, when I was younger, we didn't really have to worry about gun violence too much. I mean, if you had a problem with somebody, you kind of fist it out and move on. And now it's like people are like shooting it out and don't even have a problem with somebody. They got a problem with themselves or a problem with the situation they're in. It's just very troubling times for everyone and for parents. It's just, how can you be comfortable with sending your kids to school or sending them to church or sending them to movies or sending them to the mall? Those are kind of like the great havens when I was growing up. School, church, go to the mall, go to a sporting event. That was like heaven, you know, and it's kind of scary at this point in time. Bull crap. Bull crap. If you are living in existence where you are afraid to send your kids to school, or you are afraid to send your kids to freaking church, to the mall, to the movies, get a life. That's my advice to you. Get a life. We can't put ourselves in a bubble out of fear for isolated incidents that go on in this country. I'm sure statistics would vet this out. The chances of someone being hurt going to a school are still minutely tiny. Does that in any way, shape, or form make me mourn less for the victims of the people that this has happened to? No. But can we not live in a plane of existence where we're afraid of basic things? Look, the world is not a safe place. It's never been a safe place. And the threat of violent crime has always existed. No matter where you go, you assume a certain amount of risk every time you step behind the wheel of a car. It's just the nature of the world that we live in. But you can't be captured by fear. You can't let fear dominate how you live your life. Just go out there and make every moment of every day count, at least as much as you want to. And in the end, when your time's up, it's up. I just won't buy into the rhetoric that I need to be afraid of my kids' lives, for their livelihood, I mean. And doing the most mundane things that exist in life. It's to me, it's ridiculous. So I'm not going to buy into that fear, and I hope that you don't either. This is the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. When we come back, I'm going to rip on more things sports-related. You don't want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
This is Mid-Missouri's ESPN 107.3, your home for Kansas City Chiefs football, Kansas City Royals baseball, and St. Louis Blues hockey. Mid-Missouri's ESPN
107.3. Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can call me at 573-364-1045. That's 573-364-1045. 364-1045. I want to stay in the world of basketball, but I want to shift gears a little bit and bring you a flash from the past. Remember the Ball family? For a few months there, that's all anyone wanted to talk about in the world of sports. LaVar Ball captured the sports world's attention and annoyance by being the most obnoxious dad that ever existed. He was the prototypical dad of a millennial. And let me tell you, he's still here. But in a story that I find extremely fascinating, LaMelo Ball, one of his younger sons, made a surprising decision to return to a United States high school this week, announcing that he was enrolling at Spire Institute in Geneva, Ohio. For those of you that don't remember, LaMelo had spent the last year competing overseas in the JBA League as a professional. But the Ball family contended that LaMelo was not compensated and as such shouldn't be considered a professional. While Spire cleared LaMelo to play, opponents that were lined up to play against Spire are now dropping out of their scheduled games. And we're not just talking about anybody here. Spire is a really popular school for basketball. There's a number of high school basketball juggernauts, all of them private schools, most of them private schools, throughout the country. And shortly after he announced he was returning to Spire High School, famed Indiana powerhouse La Lumiere canceled its game against Spire. Here's what they had to say. The scholar athletes at La Lumiere School are here to prepare in every way for success at the college level. We aim to put together as competitive a schedule as possible for our team, but we have never played against a team whose roster included any players who have played at the professional level. With the recent news that someone who has played professionally intends to play for Spire, we are not comfortable moving forward with our game slated for next Thursday. They weren't the only ones. Many of you have heard of Oak Hill Academy. Oak Hill Academy's been a high school basketball juggernaut for a long time. And head coach Steve Smith had this to say after canceling their game with Spire. We can't jeopardize our school and our association and our affiliation with conferences. They understood. I said we can play them if LaMelo doesn't play, but they aren't willing to do that. I'm telling you, folks, this is interesting. Because first of all, even though Spire has said, we don't have a problem with this, we think it's okay, we believe you that he wasn't professional, he can play for us. You've got other massive schools that are saying, whoa, what type of risk, what type of exposure does this open us up to? I can't remember a situation like this that has ever happened, but man, I'm all in on it. And you know what the best part about this is? It continues to demonstrate that anything the Ball family touches turns to poop. That's just what they do to things. Lithuania is never going to be the same again. And now neither will Spire. It's just the way of things. And I have to tell you, the way of things has been very discouraging for me lately. It just has. You look at the NBA, Kawhi Leonard forcing his way out of San Antonio. It was disgusting. The way all of that went down, the way he held that team hostage, a team that treated him like the golden child, that put him in a position to be the face of a franchise for the rest of his career. And what has happened? The Raptors are absolutely dominating the NBA right now with a record of 12-1. Kawhi's only played in 2/3 of the games they've even played. And Jimmy Butler, following Kawhi's cue, did the exact same thing, holding Minnesota hostage. There's no other way to say it. Now, he actually played. but it's been absolutely disastrous. After this is what Adrian Wojnarowski had to say with ESPN. After a winless five-game road trip that ended with loss to Sacramento on Friday night, Tom Thibodeau had come to the realization that the Wolves couldn't win with Butler in this dysfunctional environment. He told associates that Minnesota wouldn't play another game with Butler. Butler played 41 minutes in the Timberwolves' loss to the Kings. This is after five straight losses, and was upset over playing too much in the game. He told The Athletic Sam Amick, that bleep has to stop. There are bleeping 14 other guys that can play. Can someone explain to me why you would want that type of a personality in your locker room? I've already talked about it on the show before from the standpoint of what is Jimmy Butler as a player? Mediocre. And when you're telling me he's going to bring this type of baggage with him to the Philadelphia 76ers where he was traded, why? Why would you do it? It doesn't make any sense. And then you've got Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony signed a $24 million contract with the Rockets in the offseason. $24 million, the kind of money Le'Veon Bell wants to get paid. Through 10 games this season, Carmelo Anthony has missed more shots than he has field goals, assists, steals, and blocks combined. The Rockets are over 15 points better per 100 possessions than when he's on the court. They're better with him off the court than on the court by 15 points per 100 possessions. In his last game, he was 1 for 11, posting a minus 22 in 20 minutes. He's horrible! And he's complaining about his usage. Look, guys like Carmelo, guys like Jimmy Butler, they don't make teams better. What has Carmelo Anthony done in his career to make a basketball team better? It's not all about the individual counting stats, which Carmelo doesn't even have those anymore. Sports is about so much more than that. How do players make their teammates better? Allen Iverson didn't do it. I loved watching Allen Iverson play, but he didn't elevate his teammates. And ultimately, these guys, like, what are we after as fans? We want to see championships. And you need guys that elevate teammates' play to do that. Mark my words. 76ers are not going to win the Eastern Conference. It's not going to happen. And I will take it a step farther. I don't think they'll win the Eastern Conference while Jimmy Butler is there. I'm going to stick my neck out on the line. They've got three, what many would consider, I don't, but what many would consider to be superstars on their team, and they won't get it done. Will Cain said on his show, he said this on Twitter, actually. The 76ers got tired of the process, which was what former GM Sam Hinkie called what they were doing in tanking and drafting early round draft picks. The 76ers, the Rockets, the Celtics, the Rams, the Saints love all these teams clear-eyed enough to see their window is open and ballsy enough to go for it. That's what Will Cain said. I don't agree. I don't agree at the idea that signing any old, and I'm using this term so loosely, superstar is the equivalent of going for it. Signing Dez Bryant made no sense to me for the Saints. He didn't fit that team from a personnel standpoint. Jimmy Butler doesn't fit the 76ers personnel standpoint. They need shooters. They don't need Jimmy Butler. The Rockets didn't go all in by signing Carmelo Anthony. They brought in a cancer who slowed down the way that they played, who doesn't play any defense at all whatsoever. Did the Celtics go all in? I think the Celtics just drafted and made smart acquisitions. I guess with the Kyrie trade, that's kind of going all in, but they didn't have to forfeit any of their future to do it. The Rams have gone all in. But look, sports is more than that. The Chiefs have a chance at a championship this year. But is it worth going all in, meaning you mortgage valuable future assets to try to bring in someone that might stay healthy and help the team for the rest of the year? I'm not sure that it is, because they have a team good enough to win it all now. Crap, if they could keep Justin Houston on the field now and get Eric Berry on the field, that'd be close enough to going all in for me. But I just don't think this blind approach to we've got to bring someone in to change this thing up that will make a difference for us. I don't think Jimmy Butler's that guy, a guy unwilling to play 41 minutes for a team he doesn't want to be on, even though it was a team he was more than willing to go to a year ago, a team that was on the up until he created all of the drama and he became the cancer in the locker room that dragged this team down. He was the problem. He was the one that couldn't make good on their potential. He was the cancer in the apocalypse, as they say in Pacific Rim. Let's take a commercial break. This is the Minmo Sports Show on Minmo's ESPN 107.3. Don't go anywhere. 3 minutes and we'll be back.
This is ESPN Radio, ESPN 107.3 FM, the sports station with the biggest games and the biggest names. ESPN Radio in Mid-Missouri is ESPN 107.3 FM.
Minmo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you've enjoyed the show so far. If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can certainly call me at 573-364-1045. It's 573-364-1045. And remember, if you missed any part of the show and you want to get caught up, it's easy. Head over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. Or if you don't have iTunes, you can listen via Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio, or many other ways. It's not hard to find the show. This is the Midmo Sports Show, and we're here every Monday from 4 until 6. So if you don't get to tune in until 5 o'clock, you're missing half the content of the show. And let me tell you, friends, you are missing out, because a lot of times that 4 o'clock hour, I have lots of fun. I like to talk about some of the more local stuff during the 5 o'clock hour. So that is what we are going to do. We're going to shift gears and talk a little bit about the Cardinals and the Blues. I had the pleasure of going to a Blues game earlier this week with my son. Saw a really fun game, and it was refreshing to see the Blues playing some defense with Chad Johnson in goal. The Blues have had a very difficult time keeping pucks out of the net this season. As many of you have, I have joined you and being frustrated with how this team has played under Mike Yeo, but it seems like it's similar to how the team was playing late in Ken Hitchcock's tenure. And I don't know what it's going to take to get this team going, but there is a lot of talent in this roster. And every time that you think this team is going to go on a run, that they're going to turn the corner, they lay an egg like they did yesterday. So I have one question, one very important question. Why is Joel Quenneville not our coach yet? Right now, it is time to move heaven and move earth to go get this man, Joel Quenneville, former Blues coach who won three, count them, three Stanley Cups with the arch enemy Chicago Blackhawks. I have no idea why Chicago fired him. I have no idea how a man that has won three Stanley Cups in less than 10 years hasn't earned enough trust from the franchise to buy him a year and a half of rough hockey. I really don't know.
See, that makes me wonder what else there might be. You know, what sort of
friction
habits or whatever the heck, like what skeletons does he have in his closet? Because clearly there's something more than his merit.
Well, there's no doubt that he has he's demonstrated the ability to manage, to properly motivate, to strategize with elite talent, because Chicago has had that for the time that he's been there. He's developed exciting young people. Oh, man, I have to tell you, as a Blues fan, I dream of a day where Joel Quenneville is this coach. I have no idea if Joel Quenneville can actually turn this thing around for the Blues. But my goodness, isn't it something you want to find out as a fan? The Blues players are paid large sums of money and grossly just disappoint. We have all kinds of exciting young talent coming into the pipeline. We made some bold moves in the offseason for players that on paper I really like. I mean, I saw Ryan O'Reilly's hat trick. I love the way the guy plays. I love what that line is doing right now. That first line with Tarasenko and Schwartz. I really don't want to see that broken up when Braden Schenn comes back. I mean, Yo has been struggling as a coach. He's 5-10-3 going back to the final six games of last season. The team is 27-29-7 since December 12th. The Blues are only 17-16-2 at home, a place where they used to own. I mean, you absolutely have to go all in and try to get Joel Quenneville. And maybe they're doing that. Maybe they're doing that. Maybe Quenneville is jaded by the experience that he had with the Blues. He was fired back in 2004 after 7-plus seasons. He had a .598 win percentage, over 300 wins. I'm reading an article that Bernie Miklas wrote on 101sports.com. He had a quote from Chris Pronger from back in the day when Quenneville was fired. Many of you remember Pronger as the defensive stalwart for the Blues. He said, somebody's got to take the heat when the team's not playing very well, and it's pretty tough to fire a whole team. Obviously, the coach is the easiest guy to let go, but at the same time, we as players haven't played very well. At times, we seemed lackadaisical out there and not really put our best foot forward. For Joel, taking the heat is kind of sad. It may be sad, but that's just how it works. And right now, Yo, it's got to go. Look, I get the argument of who are you going to replace him with, which was the argument used by many of you for Mike Matheny for many, many years. But when you have a guy that has gone out and had the level of success recently that Joel Quenneville has had, you have a ready-made replacement. Now go convince him to coach this team and let's get it done. Speaking of getting it done, Derek Gould reported this weekend, based on some reporting that Ken Rosenthal did, that John Mozeliak is focused sharply, has a sharp focus on corner infield and not necessarily the outfield. Now, excuse me. I told you last week that Mozeliak has talked about seeing the value in adding a franchise player, an impact player that you have to open the checkbook to go get, which led many of you down the Bryce Harper rabbit trail. I absolutely went on a tear last week talking about how you're crazy for not wanting Manny Machado. But the longer this goes on, the less optimistic I am that a Machado or Bryce Harper deal is going to go down. I still think there's a chance that the Cardinals can woo Bryce Harper away from the Phillies, but a lot of people are saying Philadelphia is the favorite, which potentially leads us to a guy like a Josh Donaldson. But I'm hoping that the Cardinals look beyond Josh Donaldson and go after someone in trade. Two names that have recently been bandied about as possibly being available are Paul Goldschmidt with the Arizona Diamondbacks and Chris Bryant, the franchise third baseman for the Cubs. And let me tell you, if there are deals to be made, the Cardinals better be kicking those tires for both of those places, because either one of them would be unbelievable talents, unbelievable acquisitions for this team. I can't believe that the Cubs would actually entertain moving Chris Bryant. I really can't. Last year hit he had an injury-riddled year last year. Still hit 272, 106 hits, 52 RBIs. I don't see how many home runs he's got. 13 home runs. So he had a down year last year. But the previous 3 years, 26 home runs, 99 RBIs, 39 home runs, 102 RBIs, 29 home runs, 73 RBIs, hits for anywhere from decent to good average. His lowest batting average in the last 4 years was 272. And the dude is still young. I'm sorry, this is bad radio. I don't see his age. But I think he's only around 27. This is a guy you want to go after. Let's see if you can find that for me. Chris Bryant, Chris with a K. And then Paul Goldschmidt is performing at an extremely high level. I don't care if it's a third baseman or a first baseman. Matt Carpenter's flexibility creates options for you to go after either of those positions. And if you can go out in a trade and make one of those deals, you do it.
26 years old.
Thank you. Now look at Paul Goldschmidt for me with Arizona Diamondbacks. 26 years old, friends. He's still got his best years ahead of him, just like I think Bryce Harper does.
What would you like to know about him?
He's just his age.
31 years old.
31 years old. So he's got a little more miles on the tires. But at 31, and I think he's still got 2 or 3 years left on that contract, those are prime years to have him, man. You don't usually see that power dip until 33, 34. Those are names that get me excited. I would guess that particularly with Chris Bryant, Chicago would want a king's ransom, but if we can put a package of young players together that may or may not include Alex Reyes, that's a deal I do. Because that is a deal for now and for the future. Bringing in a 26-year-old corner infielder, franchise player. Oh, man, I'd do it all day and twice on Sunday. If it hurts the Cubs and helps me, that's a win for everybody, right? I think so. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we've got hot sauce, weak sauce. This is the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back.
Hear live streaming audio of Rolla High School Sports at ESPN1073.com. Plus, get the latest sports news and scores 24-7 from ESPN 107.3 at ESPN1073.com.
Welcome back to the Mid-Mo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, we're here every Monday from 4 to 6, so if you missed any part of the show, go find us on iTunes or Blog Talk Radio or iHeartRadio and share that gift this holiday season, the gift of the Mid-Mo Sports Show. If you've got friends or family or coworkers who aren't listeners, let them in on the best-kept secret, the worst-kept secret, best-kept secret, I don't know. Let them know, though. They're missing out.
I believe people can also find us through the Amazon Echo using TuneIn.
You can. You absolutely can. Yes. And Google Home as well. All right. Let's get this party started. Let's do some hot sauce, weak sauce.
Hot sauce.
Hot sauce. Hot sauce.
It's time. Hot sauce.
That's weak sauce, Dan.
So weak sauce.
It's time for some hot sauce, weak sauce.
Do not enter that sauce in the county fair because it is weak.
Weak sauce.
Let's get this party started with a hot sauce.
Derek Johnson, the all-time leading tackler in the history of the Chiefs, with a touchdown for Kansas City.
In an incredible display of guts, and an incredible display of courage, 19-year-old Ray Ida. I have no idea if I'm saying that right. A Japanese teenager crawled to the handoff for 200 meters during a relay race in Japan after breaking her right leg. Unwilling to let her team be disqualified and fail, Ray broke her leg and crawled 200 meters. Dude, that's no joke.
That could be an event in and of its own, the 200-meter crawl.
That's a very valid point. Are you good at distance? How far is 200 meters?
200 meters, that's like 666 feet.
That's a pretty good chunk to have to crawl.
That's a ways.
With the pain of a broken leg, too. Man, that's guts, man. That's totally hot sauce for me. Let's go with another hot sauce.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
In an incredible display of animal-based heroism, because I've been giving you all kinds of that lately, a dude from North Carolina named Sonny Pumphrey was going to be attacked by a bear. In fact, he had battled a bear briefly outside of his home. He has scrapes and bruises all over his body to prove it. He said he was outside when two cubs showed up outside of his home. He tried to shoo them away when the mother caught wind of what he was doing and was worried that he was going to attack. So she came at him. He punched the mother bear in the nose and ran the bear off. Now that is after, I missed this detail. He said he punched the bear in the nose. She dropped down and bit his hip. And he still fended the bear off and is here to tell the tale.
This man shall become an American folk legend, Pumphrey the Bear Fighter.
Sonny Pumphrey. Have you seen the movie The Revenant?
I have not.
You need to YouTube the Revenant bear fight scene. There's a scene that anyone that has seen the movie will be emblazoned in their brain for the rest of their life, in which Leonardo DiCaprio is attacked by a bear. And they tried to depict what a real-life bear attack would look like. It is one of the most brutal, intense, horrific things I've ever seen in a movie. Let me tell you, dude, if that experience was anything like what Leo had to go through, Sonny, you are the ultimate hot sauce. The ultimate. Let's go with the weak sauce.
You're killing me, Smalls.
I don't know if you paid attention to the elections at all this week, Colin, but Nevada had a very interesting thing happen.
As they tend to.
Running for a state legislative seat, Lisa Romanov was running against Dennis Hoff. He is a brothel owner and a reality TV star and just doesn't seem like a great dude. But what's really interesting about this race is not that he was a brothel owner. It was that he died last month. That's right. Former brothel owner Dennis Hoff won by a landslide the GOP state legislative district against Lisa Romanov. How on God's green earth does a deceased brothel-owning friend of porn stars candidate win at anything ever on the state level? I get it if he's running for mayor and the town loves him, but holy cow, dude.
I've heard of, you know, dead people's votes being counted, but not for a dead guy.
Next level.
Yeah. I've got a hot sauce, speaking of elections, if you'll allow me.
What do you got?
Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in.
Missouri Amendment 4 passed, and I don't know if anyone's familiar. I actually have talked about this extensively over on KMNR. Missouri Amendment 4, also known as the Bingo Amendment,
That was one that caught me off guard on the ballot.
Was to amend the Missouri Constitution and reword it so at present the Constitution said that groups could not advertise for bingo games that they were hosting, and in order to organize a bingo game, one had to be a member of that group for an entire 2 years. However, with the Amendment 4 passing, groups are now able to advertise for their bingo games, and you only have to be a member of the group for 6 months before you host a bingo game. Now, the funny thing is, it was a fairly even race. Over a million people voted against this amendment.
How do you vote against bingo?
I I think so.
We're not even voting against bingo, right?
See, my dad, he was sort of voting no in protest because he just didn't want stupid stuff like this to wind up in the Constitution.
That's completely valid. Yeah. I voted yes out of principle. It's bingo. Let's go with a hot sauce.
Too hot in the hot tub. Burn the set. Make it cooler.
I love a good rookie hazing. I love it. And I also love movie theater popcorn. Those things are two passions in my life. I don't want to overstate that.
That'll be the epitaph on your gravestone.
I particularly love movie theater popcorn with movie theater butter on it. You got to get the extra butter. My wife disagrees. But number five overall pick, Trae Young, who is having a sensational basketball season for the Atlanta Hawks, was hazed in a way I've never seen before, and I just think it's brilliant. You see, Trae Young couldn't wait to spend that rookie money. He owns an Audi R8, which is a $138,000 sports car. And in order to haze him, players on the Hawks decided to fill his $138,000 Audi with movie theater popcorn. You cannot make this up. There is video to prove when he opened the door and popcorn came flowing out freely.
That reminds me, MTV's Jackass crew, they put one of those inflatable life rafts into Bam Margera's Lamborghini Gallardo. And the Gallardo actually shared a platform with the R8, but they're very small. It's a two-seater, so the windshield was cracking because
I don't know what kind of damage this buttery, salty, greasy popcorn did to that car, but I guarantee you it's legit.
I bet you it's mostly olfactory. He's never going to be able to drive this thing without smelling popcorn again.
Good news. At least he gets to eat his way through this problem. Delicious. Popcorn for days. I'm here to tell you popcorn is still good on the second day. Let's go with a hot sauce.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches.
I guess this is hot sauce because to many people my age when they were younger, Halle Berry was a girl that many dreamed about. Halle Berry was a sex symbol for my generation. She was a smoking hot chick whose claim to fame was a rather significant insurance policy that she placed on not one, but two of her body parts. I think you can figure that out. But friends, let's be clear. Halle Berry has done nothing for a very long time in the world of movies. I mean nothing. And if we really dig into the filmography of Halle Berry, we will see that she was not a good actress. But she is beautiful, was and is. And apparently, Sean McVay and Jared Goff and the Rams agree, because as you will hear in just a second, they dedicated a specific play to Halle Berry during the Rams-Seahawks game yesterday.
I'm telling you, he has jumped up to a really next level of quarterbacking from where he was. I mean, it's really impressive to watch.
Play it one more time, and I want you to listen beyond Tony Romo. You can hear Jared Goff audibling. Listen one more time.
I'm telling you, he has jumped up to a really next level of quarterbacking from where he was. I mean, it's really impressive to watch.
Three times he yells, Halle Berry! Halle Berry! Halle Berry! Well, Halle Berry caught wind that she was an audible play and responded on Twitter, and Jared Goff was beside himself. Clearly, he thinks he has an opportunity with Halle Berry! I would love to know the story of how Halle Berry became an audible, became a play call for the Rams, but I would guess that that is a conversation for another day. Let's go with the weak sauce.
I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and...
Have you people watched the Terminator movie series? Do you understand the dangers that artificial intelligence poses to our society? The machines are going to rise up and murder all of us. It is inevitable if we continue down the path that we are currently on, because this week, the world's first artificial intelligence news anchors made debut by China's state-run news agency this week. Resembling real people, these robots can tirelessly and quickly and accurately report news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Why are we wanting to replace ourselves and the world with robots? I don't understand this, Colin. We're all going to die. Why are we doing this?
Well, I feel like this is a sort of a Mizell situation where there's someone in the background, you know, pulling the controls there. I'm not entirely confident that China... I would have expected Japan, but China, I'm not so sure. But in other news, they have created the first quantum artificial life form. So, we're not that far away from annihilation.
I don't even know what that means, and I'm terrified, and you all should be too. And no, Colin, I'm not going to let you explain what a quantum life form is. What's happening to us, people? It's not too late. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop empowering artificial intelligence, and we might have a chance to see the year 2030.
I think the Amish are onto something.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, it's going to be an exciting week as we build up to Monday Night Football, in which the Chiefs and Rams will be doing battle. Hey, do me a favor. Take an opportunity out of your week to try to find a way to bless somebody else. We've got a lot to be thankful for as individuals, and I think if you did that, it would make a huge difference. This has been the Midmo Sports Show on Mid-Missouri ESPN 107.3. Until next week, I'm out!
The Mid-Mo Sports Show, a presentation of Mid-Missouri Media. Heard Mondays from 4 to 6 on ESPN 107.3.
The staff at Tamir Lumber realized a lot.